session number 20971, real one.
Hugh BT, real one, where were you born, please?
Haslemere, Surrey.
Which year was this?
1916.
Did both your mother and father come from Haslemere?
No.
Where did they come from?
Came from Port Mahomet in Ross and Cromartie in those days, Scotland.
That was your father?
That's my father.
And your mother?
Mother, Essex.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Haslemere?
No, I went to school in Saffron Walden. That's Essex.
So is Saffron Walden really your hometown rather than Haslemere?
Yes.
Where did you go to school?
In Saffron Walden.
Do you know the name of the school?
Yeah, Boys British.
How old were you when you finished there?
14.
So this is about 1930?
Yes.
Did you get a job?
Oh yes, I worked in an office.
What was the name of the firm?
DuPont Brothers.
Is that what you were doing when war broke out?
Oh no, I was in grocery trade then. I went to grocery.
Did you have your own shop?
Yes, I did.
Did you employ anybody?
Yes.
How many?
One, two, three, four.
In Saffron Walden?
No, in Danbury.
This is also in Essex?
Yes, in Essex.
Was it a success?
Pardon?
Was the shop a success?
Oh, yes.
Did you join TA before the war?
No.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
I did indeed.
How did you feel about the news?
I don't know if you'd take much notice, I don't think.
Did the war affect you at first?
No.
Were you in any bombing by the German Air Force at first?
No.
So can you tell me about joining up, please?
I joined up at Saffron Walden, and we went into Norwich to Britannia Barracks.
Were you called up or did you volunteer?
No, I was called up.
Do you know the dates that you joined the army?
March 40.
Where were you trained?
Norwich. Britannia Barracks.
What was the training like?
It was all right, I think, yes. Mostly small arms, Bren and rifle, that's all. Well, we never had a rifle, did we? Only between 26. Yeah.
How did the people in charge treat you?
Reasonably well, yes. Little bit of shouting, you know. Bring us down to order.
How did you take to the discipline?
Oh, well, we got to accept it in those days. Those things happen. There we go.
Were you able to cope with the things expected of you?
Yes. I think so.
What happened after Britannia Barracks?
Pardon?
What happened next after Britannia Barracks?
After Britannia, I know one of the things that happened in Britannia was the fact that I had a trip in a Blenheim. I was an unpaid lance corporal, and two of us were selected to go up in a Blenheim bomber from Norwich Airport. And then I moved to Nelson Barracks for a while. And then there were 26 unpaid lance corporal in a disused pub in Norwich. And nobody knew we were there. So we used to go in and get paid on the Friday and then disappear for the week. Cinema, whatever. Walking. Great fun. Yes. But also, whilst I was in the barracks, I remember seeing, I can't remember now, it's a long while ago, two or three German bombers coming over and bombing Bolton and Paul's. because we stood outside the showers in the nude, about 20 of us, watching these being bombed. To me, it appeared that they were doing about 50 miles an hour, which I suppose they were. Nobody fired at them.
How many German planes did there seem to be?
Three, I thought three. They were biplanes. I remember that quite well. And of course from Norwich I was sent to Nottingham. Woollerton Park, where we did train an intake of recruits. Well, I was only a 3 month old one, but we trained recruits there, you know, in small arms, route marches and whatever. Under canvas.
Were you with a battalion by then?
Pardon?
Were you with a battalion?
Yes, 7th Battalion, yeah.
Royal Norfolk?
Yeah, the Royal Norfolk. Yes. I remember we were put on standby. We'd been up there somewhere. The whole battalion was on standby. I was in charge of a roadblock just outside Nottingham, over a shop. I was a corporal then, with two men. But I was persuaded by my sergeant to go for a drink in the Admiral Rodney. So off we toddled, strictly against the rules. Came back slightly inebriated, and the wall around Woollerton Park was about 7 or 8 feet, I think. And it took us about a half an hour, 3/4 an hour to get over it, straight in the arms of the guard. And the following week, I was promoted. Otherwise nothing very exciting happened at Nottingham.
Is Woollerton Park in Nottingham?
Woollerton Park, yeah, just outside Nottingham. Yeah. Yes, that was...
Have you any other memories from this period?
No, Nottingham. Not really. Not really. It was just a question of training, small arms, recruits. No, that was... Nothing very exciting happened there. Well, we did, the whole battalion did march into Nottingham and round Nottingham and back again, but why, I do not know. Because bayonets weren't fixed, so I suppose. We always used to get 10 cigarettes from the girls at Players Factory every week, which was very nice in those days.
Did you smoke yourself?
Oh, I did then. I think everybody did. We didn't realise the problems it would cause. Yes.
What do you remember happening next?
After Nottingham, we moved to Grimsby. I did an awful lot of route marches there. That's all mainly seemed to do. I did do a... Did it at Grimsby? Yes. We were in Grimsby, and we had to do a guard at the docks, and I did a week's guard with about 20 chaps in a pillbox on Grimsby docks, and that wasn't very pleasant. The darn thing was always damp, floor was awash, so we had to sleep in that for a week. Mind you, no ammunition, so what we were supposed to do, I don't know.
Were there any German raids on Grimsby?
Not while I was there, no. We were there for some while, then I moved to... Fettlethorpe. That's just down south of Grimsby, right in the sticks. And I know I was in charge of a platoon in an old farmhouse. No officers around. I think all we did was play cards, and I mounted a guard every day, every night. The nearest pub was about 3 to 4 miles away, which we used to walk to, in the snow, and that was it. Then I moved back to, where did we move to then? To Louth, for about a month. just did a few route marches there, I think. Can't think where we went to from there. Nothing very exciting. Well, I got promoted to Lance Sergeant. Then I was moved from there to Sutton-on-Sea, to a new company, which was A Company, which I stopped with then, after all the time. Yes. Because I was with Captain Jameson, VC, as a corporal. Then I got moved to this other company. And I was a Lance Sergeant with a load of... I think the rest of the NCOs were nearly all regulars. Yes.
What was Captain Jameson like in those days? What was Captain Jameson like in those days?
He was all right, nice chap, very nice, a good officer, yeah. Yes, I got on well with him. He was a very tall chap, 6'4", I think. Yes, I what happened then? Fed a thought. I had a Lance Sergeant there. Flowers, professional footballer, played for Wolves, and after that for Mansfield Town, I think it was. I had a letter from his wife that her husband was being picked on by the officer, who I remember was a vicar's son, rather tickled me, and I had to sort of have a little chat with him about it, and after about a couple of weeks he disappeared, so where he went to I don't know.
You mean the officer disappeared?
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Do you think he was picking on this
chap? Oh, I think he was indeed. He didn't pick on me. Just as well, eh? Yeah, oh yes, he was picking on the lad, yeah.
What, for what reason?
I don't know, but I had to write to his wife and explain that everything was all right, yeah. Oh, I think he's just niggly, that's all. He just couldn't take it. Yeah, that was quite funny. I had a chap said, could he go and shoot ducks? I said, well, you can shoot a duck. What are you going to do with it? He said, eat it. I said, oh, that's all right, yes, but so look, whatever you're doing, look where you're shooting. He cooked this duck, and being a seabird, I think he was a townsman, he decided that it was a bit fishy. He didn't enjoy that a bit. Lost a tooth in the consequence of eating it. Yes.
Was there much of the bullying of that type?
No. It's the only instance I can ever remember. Yes, that was about it. I can't think of anything else that happened particularly up at Grimsby, apart from docks and whatever. Oh, that's right, I know, I remember now, I was up at... My company had to go to Helmswell Aerodrome, that's up in near Lincoln somewhere, to train some RAF personnel in small arms, and amongst them were a few Poles, and we also dug the slit trenches round the aerodrome for defence. That was, we were there for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then we returned back to Grimsby again. Yeah, that was it. Yes, what did we do for that after that? Then we were made into another brigade as a rapid reaction force. And I remember one night we went from Grimsby up to Morpeth in buses, which weren't very rapid, I can assure you. And it was snowing up there. I remember it was damn cold. And because the old gas capes came out to keep us warm in the ditches, we were in ditches up there for a while, no ammunition again, and I can remember we crept into the village And I can remember buying fish and chips then, which I thought were on ration, but apparently they weren't. Not up there anyway. That was quite funny. Yes, then we came back, and that was... Where did we go there? And then after Lincolnshire, we moved to Norfolk on coastal defence. Where did I go to first? Sea Pauling, that's right.
Where's that?
In Norfolk. From Sea Pauling, I went to... Gosh, I kept horse on the move. Side Strand, again in Norfolk, a few miles up the coast. From there to Overstrand. Then I went on a course of aircraft recognition at Catterick. Came back, and I remember I had to give a lecture to the company on aircraft recognition. When the brigadier came round, that was Overstrand. Overstrand, where did I go to after that? I went on another course to Catterick again for a firefighting course. Now I remembered during this week's course we had to climb ladders, wooden ladders, up about 50 feet up, I think, on these present platforms. And the chap, sergeant down below, sergeant instructor, well, you've got to jump shortly. And I thought, well, one bloke, he's not going to jump. I'm going to be caught out. I'm not jumping. And at the last moment, he said, oh, perhaps you hadn't better, because we had a chap who broke his leg last week, pulling our legs. So that was that, all right. That got over that all right. That was two courses at Catterick, yes. Strictly non-alcoholic, of course, in those days. So it was all tea and wads for a week. Yeah. That was that. Where did we go? We went to Sea Pauling, that's Overstrand. That's right, we moved to Cromer. Cromer, yes. We stopped there for a while. Didn't do much there. From Cromer, we used to have to do night patrols up into Holt and back down through Sheringham with looking for so-called German paratroopers. But no ammunition again, so I don't know what we were supposed to do. But we had to sign in and book in at an outpost on the Cromer beach there. Make certain that we'd been round, so there was no kipping up or anything like that. And that was... I know what used to... when I used to go, I used to call in at the Feathers Hotel at whatever time it was and have a pint, and then we used to come back again. That made it quite interesting. Where I went to, yes, after that. Can't see that. Difficult when you can't see, isn't it? Whilst we was at Cromer, headquarters was somewhere further away, and they were bombed by a German bomber, and two chaps from the officers' mess staff were killed. But as luck would have us, the officers weren't at breakfast. There'd have been far more casualties. That was the thing that happened there. Mm. And, yes. And from there, we moved to Loch Gall in Northern Ireland. Yes, we did a lot of training there, marching, quite long route marches with full kit. And I remember Colonel Sergeant Brown and myself did a carder for NCOs, junior NCOs, for 3 weeks. We were congratulated on battalion orders. I'm making a good job of this carder. And a week later, the battalion went on church parade. And it appeared in battalion orders that the only two who weren't swinging their arms were Sergeant Beatty and Sergeant... what's his name? Brown. So he brought us down to earth, as it were. Brought us back to normality. It was quite funny, really. Yeah. What else have we got?
Did you have much to do with the civilian population in Northern Ireland?
No, we used to go into Armagh on a Saturday. And I remember we used to go into an old lady's front room and had a few Air Force chaps and us, about 10 of us round this table. Eggs, sausages, bacon, soda bread, bread and butter, cup of tea for a shilling. Wonderful, wonderful. Decent food for a change. Yes, we just had a few beers. Then on the train to Loch Gall, no platform, no wooden seats in the trains, very, very odd. And I think sometimes the officers used to drive the train back. That was quite funny. See, then of course we moved back from Ireland to Kent. We moved all over the place. Not Kent, we went to... somewhere near Hastings. Some village near Hastings. And we had a new company, new commander then. Fitzpatrick, I think. And we just did normal small arms training. And the Passion Wagon used to go into Hastings on the Saturday. And I remember I missed it once. And I had scrounged a lift for an RAF chaps, and he dropped me off about 5 miles short, so I had to walk 5 miles back to camp. In the meantime, a friend of mine had picked up a pickup truck and got Hastings to find me. Good job he didn't get caught, which was good of him. Yeah.
What exactly was the Passion Wagon?
The Passion Wagon was a lorry used to take you into Hastings at this instance, or anywhere else where you were near towns. So-called Passion Wagon, but as far as I was concerned, it was a drinking private wagon. We used to go and have a few beers. Yes, that's right, I went to Benenden then. That was very nice, it was a lovely... Benenden. We had a bit of fun. I was still a sergeant, and we were detailed to go get a couple of bikes and go and sort out a bit of ground for a company exercise, you see. So off we toddled with maps, and lovely July day, bikes off. We got about 4 miles, and we thought, mustn't go too far, we've got to walk this part with kit. So as we turned the corner, we discovered a pub. Must have been a miracle, I think. So in the pub we go, maps on the table, and about a mile away is a lovely bit of country we see on the map. So go back, and I got a puncture about 100 yards from camp. Anyway, I kept on riding. When I got to camp, the sergeant major stood there. Who? Poor old pug. He was a regular soldier, and he'd served in India and Afghanistan, and I'm sure he took his topi off, because he was certainly mental. That was funny, and he said, I'll put you on a charge for riding a bicycle with a flat tyre. And the major was standing there, did a grin and walked away. Never did get charged. So I think I must have been the only sergeant who was charged with riding a bicycle with a flat tyre, as far as I know. That was quite funny.
This chap was called Pug?
Pug Barker, yeah, poor Pug, yes. Who married an Irish girl whilst we was in Ireland. Now, I can't tell you what happened about that.
Why not?
Eh?
Why not?
Oh, it's a bit naughty. Well, I suppose I can, between you and I. The Sergeant Smith was very good in Ireland, with a lovely Sergeant Smith, and they discovered that this man was, who was, and all the there was quite a few regulars amongst us who were, I mean, as far as I was, because we were naive in these things. And they decorated the mess with condoms, hanging about 50 from the ceiling, and this idiot of a man brought his bride in. I couldn't believe it. So most of us walked out anyway. But, oh dear, pathetic.
Was she offended?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know, she must have been to marry a chap like him, because he was a nutter. Absolute nutter. And quite funny, really. Yes. Very funny. A divisional guard in Armagh. Myself, two corporals, and two sections of men, and no ammunition again. And they had to turn out the guard for the general. We could see come across the green from his residence. Turn out the guard. We were issued with new suits, new equipment, and all we did was turn out the guard, polish boots, iron trousers, and generally make ourselves useful in that way. That's all we did. We're in the basement of this house, the headquarters, and I got caught twice for that. So I had two new suits one time, which was unusual. That was about all we did in Northern Ireland, I think. Heck of a lot of marching.
But this was in Kent, was it?
In Kent, then, yes. Mm. Did an awful lot of marching, yeah. But I can't think where I've moved to then. No, we moved to Ramsgate. Fortnight in Ramsgate. From Ramsgate, my company moved to Herne Bay. Herne Bay to Margate. And from Margate, I did a course. I think I went. I did a course on mines and booby traps at Ripon in Yorkshire. Yes, and I came back, and we went to a 59th Div Battle School, where I was instructor on mines and booby traps for some while. That was all right. That was my opportunity to get my own back on some sergeants I knew. So we used to go out and fix up a field full of booby traps and throw a stream, and we used to call them out about 11 o'clock at night to sort these booby traps out. That was quite interesting.
What did the booby traps consist of?
Different sorts of booby traps, you know, some that were on slack wires, some on taut wires, and with fuses, just with fuses to go off, you know, if they slipped up. It was quite interesting. Unfortunately, there was three of us in a room. We had a sergeant from the engineers there, and he had a nasty habit of waking up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. If he saw a rabbit, he'd shoot it. Well, that sounded rather large, so we decided to booby trap his bed, which we did. So that cured him of that. Yeah. Yes, he didn't take kindly to that.
What did that booby trap consist of?
A thunder flash. That sorted him out. Yeah. Like a heck of a noise. Yes, that was quite interesting.